shore where the mountains meet the sea, in a clapboard shack by a broken down tree. There's a light in the window, two salty gals inside. I'm not sure if they're witches, but you know that's implied. Got the storytelling, ego swelling, pillow talking, moonlight walking sea hags.
Welcome to the Sea Hags Podcast. I'm Katie Nordgren.
And I'm Chris Jeppa.
And you got the giggles.
Well, yes, I do. And with us today is another lovely, smiling, giggly friend. No, I'm so awkward, but we're going to keep going.
Yeah, we're not. This is take two.
It's Ashley Fair. Hello.
Hi.
Ashley.
Hi.
Yay. Oh, man. Has it been a week?
That's so funny. It has been a week.
How's your week?
How's your week?
Oh, my week's okay. Ugh.
Yeah. Ugh. You were saying that you're tired of complaining on mic, so
yeah.
we'll just leave it for now.
I was just kind
of
like, yeah, the stuff that's dumb is still dumb, but I get to sleep every night, and I've been sleeping like a champ.
Yay,
so.
Good for you, buddy.
So that's the other thing I usually complain about, is just that I'm like, oh, I didn't sleep, I'm so tired forever. Mm-hmm. But I've just been, yeah, and I have been drinking for a week, I stopped drinking for the month, mm-hmm. and...
Feeling good?
I think that has to do with my sleeping, honestly.
Oh, good.
I think that my nightcaps were interfering.
That is very mm-hmm. common.
I was really self-medicating with alcohol, for sure. So I was like, okay, stop that for a month and see how I feel. And I don't miss it very much
better.
At all, because I have a fancy glass that has fizzy water in it. It's just as good. It's just as good.
Yeah. Well, whatever. A little sparkle in your step.
Just a little sparkle in my step, yeah. No, I mean, it's kind of a crummy week, and I was in a very bad mood before I got here to the shack, and I stopped to get my fancy fizzy water, because I don't have alcohol, and walked into the Shoppers Drug Mart, as one does, and people that I know from the internet rounded a corner and were like, we thought we saw you go in here, is it okay if we say hello?
Oh, that's so cute!
It was so cute. It was who I hope is a future guest, Avery, and her partner Milo, and it was very adorable because what happened is that Avery said that she had been told to imagine a cool girl and close her eyes, and then when she opened them, I was standing like almost in front of her. She's like, yeah, that'll do!
That's
which was, like, the most flattering thing ever, because, like, I don't feel cool on the inside this week, so it's nice to know that other people still see me that way, because sometimes the way people see you is as close to reality as you're gonna get, so. If they think I'm cool and I don't, I have to at least take their word for it a little bit.
Yeah, good. Yeah. Take yes for an answer.
I guess.
You gotta trust others.
You love external validation.
Yes,
take
it's
it.
The best. So much better than the stuff on tap inside, because that feels fake. I'm like, no, I'm faking it. I know that I'm not serious. Oh. It's fine. How was your week, Chris?
I was going to ask Ashley how your week was. We can go clockwise. I just wanted to say it was funny that, like, Ashley, you and I are new friends, mm-hmm. and you haven't met Katie before, but it was like, I think maybe we might know each other.
Yeah, you look super familiar to me. It's making me crazy.
Yeah, so then Katie, like, looks up on Facebook, like, oh, do we know, like...
Katie couldn't find me on Facebook, but I informed her we only have 4 mutual friends because I was already there.
You already checked me out.
Yeah. You did your research. And I thought that was nice. You sent me such a nice message today, like, I listened to your depression episode, and mm-hmm. it resonated.
No, it was such a good episode, I think. And I saw a lot of comments from people on the Facebook, and people... all needed it last week, especially. It was good.
Yeah.
It was really great.
This year, what is it with this fucking year? It started, like, I keep saying, it started with David Bowie and just went downhill somehow. Mm-hmm. Somehow that was not the worst that happened.
Ugh. No, still this year has been sucky.
Do you ever get curious about patterns like that, where it sounds a little bit like hootie dooty? Like,
yeah, we never do that
yeah.
here.
Let me just go get my crystal that's sitting right over there. I did charge up my amethyst in the moonlight, and I massaged my neck with it, and it helped.
Well,
yeah. I mean, so tonight's, like, the black moon,
yes.
which is...
Is that the goth moon?
It's, like, the second new moon of the month.
Yeah, and it's full of good energy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm down for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna dance naked in a park and get arrested because there's so many cops around my house.
Perfect. That probably
and
isn't
a lot of perks.
The positive side of things.
Well, I don't know. Maybe it'll go well for me. Probably not. I mean, I probably think a pigeon will peck me in a sensitive place. Oh, God.
But, like... The last week, so, like, we were feeling really down, and then everyone mm-hmm. was like, oh my god, like, this really resonated with me, like, I felt like I needed this, is exactly, like, the shit that I was working through, mm-hmm. and then, like, on Wednesday, I was saying, like, oh, I feel really crappy, I have, like, terrible allergies, I'm taking the day off, and, like, all these other people were like, yeah, I'm working from home today. And, like, on that Wednesday, mm-hmm. I was like, what's going on in the universe? Like, is it, or is it just because it's Wednesday and this, like, construct of a week that we've built sucks?
I think it's the universe.
I would think it's the universe. I think it's also a little bit of confirmation bias, probably. Oh, just, like, for sure. Wanting to be connected to other people. Like, and we are. Yeah. So it's both fake and super real. Just like everything.
Because, yeah, I guess if someone had told me, like, oh, I actually had a really good week, it was fine. I'd be like, fuck off.
Be like, Linda. Jump off 10 cliffs, yeah. Linda.
Is Linda? I don't know. I was going to say Brenda, but oh, that's, yeah, that's
well, Linda's
mother.
My aunt.
Oh, okay.
So.
Got too many good,
good names. Anything that has a nda in it is, like, a really good, like, thing to say with derision. I find. Like, Glenda would also Glenda. Be like, Glenda, mm-hmm. You think you're such a good witch? Bitch. Just feels good, man.
So, yeah, I think you're right that it's confirmation bias. So, it's like the people that I, like, talk to on an extended basis, because maybe they're also reaching out because they needed some support, are the ones that are feeling bad.
And those who love you don't want to rub it in your face that they're having a great week, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's very nice of them.
What is the asshole who's having an amazing year? Who's having, like, the year of their life right now? Like, who is just killing it?
Maybe someone who's, like, a Mennonite or something. They don't have, like, a radio. They don't know about all the deaths.
Just, like, peeling potatoes. They're like, this potato peeler is the best one I've ever had. Like, I'm just satisfied.
Yeah, yeah.
That's great. Well, Ezekiel, I hope you're listening the podcast, which you are not. No. For you do not have the technology. Oh, Ezekiel.
Yeah.
We shared one passionate night in the hay. That never happened.
You sure did raise that bar in there, Katie.
I've never been to Manitoba, so yeah.
Just one fateful Rumspringa.
Hey, that's Amish people. We're talking about, like, Amish diet Amish.
Yeah.
Amish zero. Amish Max. Just all of the low-calorie
Crystal
colas.
Amish?
Crystal Amish.
That sounds like meth, basically.
Oh, I bet they're making that in Pennsylvania.
Probably exists.
Oh, dear.
So how was your week, Ashley?
I've had actually a really good week. Today is kind of on, like, a
rub
lower
it in,
note,
why don't
but, right?
Fuck you.
No, I did a lot of interviews this week. I'm an organizer for a group of Canadians going to defeat Trump.
Oh.
In the States, yeah.
How are they doing that?
We're going to go door knocking. Some really simple, old-fashioned campaigning.
All right. Cool.
Tell me about that. I saw a post and I was like, Canadians against Trump, like, what's going to happen? We have no influence over that at all. But it's like, I guess you could put some boots on the ground and some fists
be
on
real
some...
real polite. Give them the old Canadian apology.
No.
So sorry to bother you.
Do you mind? Just
you
two
mind,
words?
Do you mind pushing the apocalypse back a few years, please?
We're not ready. We're getting volunteers to go down to the States, and we're going to go door knocking. We're going to swing states if we can. But we can't pay for anyone to go, so it's kind of challenging. But yeah, my week has been full of media, which was overall good, except for today, when they were... not very nice. They were really annoying, actually.
Oh, man.
I don't like the media very much.
I have a iffy relationship. It started out really great. My
very
first
validating.
Interview was on camera with, like, CBC French. I don't speak French, but it was
in
English.
Is that with Bill Curry?
No, Pierre something.
That's a much Frencher name.
Yeah. And he was great. We had a great conversation. So the week started with that, and then today was this, like, super cool new radio station. And they just kept being like, well, we don't think you have any reason to go over there. Like, we have racism here. You should deal with that here. And I was like, but Trump will affect all of that. We need to stop it. So, and they just, like, kept coming back to that point. And I was like, what else can I say? So.
I saw Wob Kanu last night. He was on the CBC and is now, like, an MLA in Manitoba.
That's right, yeah.
And, like, an Indigenous dude, really awesome speaker.
Yep.
And he said some stuff like, he was talking about how Indigenous knowledge can be applied to, like, the refugee crisis and stuff like that, to be like, can we think about sharing our space and inviting people? And he basically said, like, if we turn around, like, after being colonized and turn our backs on people that are fleeing a terrible situation, like, then colonization worked. So we need to go back to our roots of, like, being more welcoming and kind to each other. And he's like, and when people tell me, like, there's so many awful things happening in our communities. He's like, I can care about many things at once.
Exactly.
So, like, we can do lots of work, lots of different kinds of work.
Yep. But we need to stop shitting on other people who are doing stuff that we wouldn't necessarily do.
Exactly.
Especially if it's something that you think, like, might be a good idea. Like, if it's on your political side of the spectrum, kind of. Like, to shit on other people who are doing something that you're like, well, I don't really see how that would be helpful. Don't shit talk someone for that.
Yeah.
It's not helping.
And maybe, like, I get this a lot in, like, organizing, especially in politics. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm really effective as a writer and a speaker, and it's, like, and I also have, like, some connections with, like, the degree that I've done and all this stuff that, like, you can sit at tables and you can get maybe some clout by showing up at these things that other people wouldn't have access to. And so I'm gonna do that, but I'm not the best canvasser, door knocker person because I get real stammery. But there are a lot of people that have, like, amazing energy to do that. So I'm like, okay, well, I'll organize letter writing campaigns and, like, write stuff and help you guys edit your things. And I'll put materials together and I'll do all this. If you want to put the boots on the ground to, like, go and distribute this, then we're all working together. And then, like, whatever person you're targeting is getting messages from, like, five different venues, right? It's like you're getting letters, you're getting people showing up, you're getting people doing protests, you're getting people do, like, fundraisers, like, multi-pronged approach.
Yes. So much respect for the effort you're putting in.
Thank you. You're welcome. Yeah, that radio station did not.
What radio station was it?
Roundhouse.
Oh, yeah. Never even They're heard super of them. New.
Super new.
We're in fucking Yale Town.
They're Railtown.
Railtown.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. It's actually Railtown.
It's not the downtown east side, and it's not Strathcona. It's Railtown.
It's but like
the borders are very blurry.
I just love doing vocal fry. People are like, why do teen girls do that? Because it feels amazing, actually. Yeah. Have you noticed that? When you just, like, put on the voice, it just feels good. Like, you feel it radiating in your heart chakra. Do you know what I mean?
It's I like, actually do. It's very relaxing.
It is.
Yeah.
It's like, I do it as a mocking thing, and then I'm like, start doing it seriously. It's like, uh-oh. I already say like and up talk a fair bit, so I gotta watch that vocal fry. Don't want men disrespecting me because of the way I talk. Or my mom.
That's my grandma was the biggest proponent of, like, getting me to change how I speak. Like, she was very, like, drilled, mean. Like, she drilled, very mean, she drilled femininity into me in a really intense way, like, especially around, like, weight and behavior, but also, like, really wanted me to be taken seriously and conduct myself in a way that, you know, just wouldn't get you written off as, like, a dumb woman. Mm-hmm. So, like, that's very sexist in its own way, but it's like, you know, don't say like, she would fucking hit me anytime I said, oh, and, like, her smack. Like, start again, or, like, with a ruler on the knuckles, you know?
One, two, three, four, five, six.
Oh, God.
I was just assuming that's how it works.
Yeah, well, I play piano, and she would rap me on the knuckles with, like, the metal ruler.
Stop hitting children!
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
But, like, that was a big thing, that she tried to drill out of my vocabulary. It's like, don't do the up talk, don't say like, be very firm, and also don't say you're sorry about everything, like, don't apologize. Don't say just, don't say this is just my opinion or whatever. She's like, don't qualify, like, but, like, shut the fuck up until you actually have something important to say as well, which, like, is actually
it's
pretty
funny.
Fair.
It's a little bit of column A, column B there, because I definitely support the don't say sorry. I say sorry all the time. I'm really trying to break that habit. But saying, like, whatever.
Yeah.
No one, people understand what I'm saying. My mom was big on the like thing, and she would start counting every time I would do it in our conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, make a tally.
Mm-hmm.
What is that?
Yeah.
That's so, like, I get it, though. Like, I mean, I understand the irritation of repetitive sort of vocal tics. Like, I get, there's things that people do that really annoy me, and I, like, when they do it and keep doing it and keep doing it, I just want to say something. I want to say something so bad, but it's not helpful, so don't do it.
Well, it's interesting because I think part of it, too, is that we're so trained to, especially now in social media age, like, always be responding to things and always be talking.
Wow, yeah.
And so those are filler words. If we pause for a moment, same with if you pause for a moment, someone cuts in. I, like, in student politics, I was on a board with all guys. So if I stopped for 1 second, they would jump right in, and I'd be like, I'm not fucking done.
Don't interrupt me.
Is swearing okay?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Oh, it's super okay. Everything has got a little red E next to it. Great. We're pretty foul-mouthed.
Perfect.
Yeah. It's fine. Well, that was where you were saying about...
Such a good point. God damn.
Your week has been filled with some Hillary Clinton stuff where it was like the debate happened, like the first one between them, and it was like Hillary Clinton got interrupted 70 times, and Donald Trump only like 40 or something, mm-hmm. and he thought that he was the most interrupted. And there's all those studies that show that men think that they don't dominate conversations or that they barely say anything, but then when you objectively count, mm-hmm. like, women get way interrupted all the time.
I looked up the statistics for that, because yeah. I keep hearing it quoted, and I really, really wanted to know what the study was, so if somebody was like, where the fuck did you get that, I could slap it down. The only place I could find it was the Gina Davis Center for, like, Feminist Media, mm-hmm. and it was that if, and here, and I'm really going off memory here, but it's like, if women are present at, like, with, and speak 17% of the time, they're considered to be equal by the men that are in the group.
That's
like,
right.
It's 17%, and if they speak 34% of the time, they are perceived as being dominating.
Hmm. That's obscene.
That's absolutely obscene. But it's just like, it goes to show just how much this stuff gets ingrained and how much, you know, women are taught to be accommodating and men are taught to be, to take, pretty much. And that's an unfortunate thing, but it's very unconscious. I think it's super not intentional.
Mm-hmm. I find it challenging now that we're doing a podcast to kind of keep my natural cadence going, and I feel like I have to always jump in and fill the space, and we mm-hmm. can't have dead air. And, you know, we did, like, some podcasts with, like, really super fun comedians that are, like, really super quick, and,
Zippy-doo.
You know, and that was really fun, but it felt like, oh, I have to hold my own, I can't stop, just keep going, like, but then sometimes when we get into conversations, when we're getting into more deep stuff, then we do have natural pauses, mm-hmm. and it's really nice.
Yeah.
And I find that when I am in the room, I feel like, oh, it's probably dead air. But when I listen back, it actually feels nice to listen to. So I think I need to not be quite as judgy over my own performance and just, like, enjoy the process of talking to my friends.
Don't ask me what the word is, but there's a Japanese word for that, like a pause in, especially in filmmaking. Like, I'm not a big Japanese film person, but I do like the Miyazaki films, like, from Studio Ghibli. Mm-hmm. Like, and they have, like, a lot of quiet pauses in them, and it's just meant to create, like, a naturalness in it. Like, mm-hmm. and it really does, I think. But I definitely am conscious of it when we're here. Like, I definitely feel like I need to fill the space.
Yeah, too. And I feel like that has also come from being around organizing tables with really intense, awesome political people that mm-hmm. have a lot of great ideas, but then they just keep talking.
And you gotta jump in.
You gotta jump in, or else you won't get your space. And I'm also an only child, and I never had to share time like that. So even when I go to families that, you know, have lots of kids and stuff, and it's like, stop being so polite and hanging back, just get in there. I'm like, I'm in no rush, man. Like, I'm just waiting my turn, it's fine. But then suddenly the meeting's over and you didn't speak at all, and then now suddenly I'm just always the secretary and everything. Oh, you just seem to have been taking notes the whole time. Like, yeah, because I was writing stuff down that I was gonna say, but I didn't get to. Fuck. These minutes are terrible. It's all just me.
I hate this guy's beard or something. That was me. I was in an incredibly long meeting today at work, like two plus hours. It was like a steering committee meeting, and it was like, I really like the vast majority of the faculty members I work with are very lovely people. They're just pretty long-winded, and they have a lot of important things to say, and we're being crushed on the wheel of academic bureaucracy, so everybody wants to bitch about it, right? Like, we're like, this sucks. Powers that be, we're in the arts and social sciences, so, like, nobody gives a shit about us.
You could just bring, like, Andrew Petter. He was at the thing that I went to last night, and he was like,
I don't want him anywhere near me.
Yeah, that's the president of SFU just being like, we're at the president's dream colloquium. And because we're here with these indigenous people, and we're gonna share knowledge in this amazing ceremony, because I just want us to dream together. Because that's what reconciliation
that
is all about,
me
is
feel
dreaming
so uncomfortable.
Together.
I was like, no.
No, I think it's about something else.
Yeah.
I think it's about something a little bit different.
Yeah,
than that.
I believe that they say reconciliation in action, not necessarily like creating a space to dream about it. How about fucking,
let's just do it.
If we dream hard enough, we can erase intergenerational trauma. Yeah. Like, I don't think that's how it did.
Yeah, and then the speaker was like, you know, every person that I've talked to about higher education, like for Indigenous folks, it's all we want more money invested in, like, language and culture, mm-hmm. like, restoration and celebration, like, study and all of this, but yet still the business schools come in and the practical trades come in, and, like, a lot of Indigenous students are, like, streamlined into those because they are quick returns and you can, like, get some really awesome jobs, and that's amazing, But what all the students are telling us is they want to speak their language and they want to fucking know about their culture. And the president of SFU is kind of there, is like, mom, and didn't really say anything.
He's a super bureaucrat. Like, yeah. I have nothing to do with him. But yeah. The meeting was cool in that it actually talked about that because there's a new course and then a series of lectures that's going to be happening. The lectures will be free, and a lot of it does have to do with linguistic diversity, including Indigenous language. So that came up. But what I was going to say earlier is that, like, because I'm not a voting member of any of these committees, I act as a secretary, even though I'm not a secretary and take minutes. But I end up being kind of comic relief, and I don't know if they appreciate it or not, but that's what they get. Because I'll just be like, if I hear something distasteful, I'm not professional. They love it. There's like six of us in there. I was just like, or if somebody's like said something about that, something that was obviously an empty promise, I'm like, yeah, when fucking hell freezes over or something.
You're just taking minutes and muttering.
That's so good though. No, it's true. Honestly, they need to hear that stuff. My roommate is the minute taker at a student union, and the stuff that people say is ridiculous. And she come home and kind of talk about it, and I'm just like, how can they get away with that? And it's because someone who actually knows what's going on, i.e. her, can't jump in and be like, and sometimes she will be like, maybe you guys should reconsider that. But it's so carefully worded.
Mm. Yeah.
Ugh.
Because you have to toe such a fine line.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the, I'm a shitty minute taker. I don't know why they keep asking me to do it. Probably because the only other people who are available to do it aren't any better.
No one else wants to do it.
No, it's horrible. I fucking hate doing secretarial work. I don't mind it. Like, if I did a million other things all the time and then I had a day a week where I mm-hmm. where I was doing, like, filing or like, collating or something.
It's important to have shit organized, you know?
And I'm super organized, yeah. But the thing is that nobody else is, and so, like, I'll go and organize something, and then it's just like being a parent of toddlers, right? Like, it just gets...
Yeah.
Immediately. Yeah, so I'm just like, why even bother? I'm still not a permanent employee anyway. After 4.5 years.
Wah-wah.
Wah-wah. This is the economic reality we're living in, my friends.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't it just?
Just if you don't like it, get a new job.
And then you sent me that job thing that was like, oh, here's a cool job. And I looked at it and I was like, oh, no, they want me to work 20% more for 20% less.
Oh, God. Yeah, true.
Yeah, I was like, oh, this sounds really cool. And it's with somebody really, oh, no, nope, no, there are slim pickings out there. I guess I'll just stay where I am.
There's a lot of bakeries and coffee shops hiring, and I was saying to Katie today, I'm like, I worked in coffee, and I was actually really, really good. Like, I can fucking foam some milk, and I can tell when it gets to 160 degrees because of what it sounds like.
Yeah.
Wow.
I always made the perfect pours, and I could do the latte art and shit. It was really fun. I was like, maybe I'll apply to, like, apprentice at Cafe Artigiano. Like, that's what I was thinking do with my life. Was be, like, a special barista that, like...
Go to that latte art competition or whatever, yeah.
Like, I was getting kind of good at it, and then it was like, well, I actually can't live or work on... Like, I can't pay my bills.
Yeah.
I get all the crostata I want to eat, you know? Like, day-old fucking scones, but...
It's hard to get, like, soft skills recognized, you know? Like, goodness. They just don't get remunerated.
But it's
at
like,
all.
I would happily go back and work at a coffee shop a couple days a week. That would be a really lovely thing to do, and then I would just make art and stuff, but it's like, you cannot... There's not a living wage in that kind of employment, so you'd have to work more than full time in order to make ends meet.
Well, there's no time for art.
Yeah.
Given an opportunity to become a delivery driver for a weed company.
Ooh.
Which I genuinely thought about. I was like, I can't use the car that is in my partner's name and have to get a little beater. Do I really want to drive around for a job? But I'm also kind of like, make it easier to do comedy. Just like, but I also kind of hated comedy this week, so I was like, oh, I don't want to make it easier for me to do that, because I don't want it to become my main thing that I do all the time.
Yeah.
Because it's making me sad.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
That's fair.
Yeah. There was a job that I applied for, and then I actually wound up getting a different job. Not my current job, but a different thing. But it was with a friend of mine that I knew from school, and he was running this, like, pharmacy program.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, like, supposed to be, like, an ethically, socially responsible pharmacy. Because so many folks, like, especially in the downtown east side that have, like, mental health issues and are very isolated, will get their medication dispensed from a pharmacy and they just have to go get it. And that's the end of the story. And nobody checks in on them. So this was going to be, like, we deliver your meds once a week in a blister pack. And we, like, chill with you for, like, 20 minutes, have tea, oh my on, like, gosh. A schedule, and you just, like, roll around, like, all over That's Vancouver amazing. And drop off medication. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of sad that I didn't take it after all, because it would have actually been a really nice thing. Mm-hmm. But it was kind of, like, evenings and weekends.
Ooh, yeah.
Which is hard, but that's, like, when the schedule was for, and yeah. a friend of mine got the job, and she's like, this is the chillest fucking job I've ever had. Like, she drives around in a van, listening to music, and then just,
toot,
like...
Toot, it's me, the drug lady!
just, like, sits with, like, little sweeties, like, having tea, and just being like, how are you today, Gladys? And, like,
oh, I love
making
it.
Sure that the newspapers aren't piling up too much, and,
oh,
you know...
Oh, want you to get buried alive now.
Yeah, yeah, and it's not like they have, like, with the pharmacy, any kind of power to get them other supports, but they can at least advocate. Like, I see this person regularly, so yes. I think that they should be a candidate for home support or whatever.
Holy, that is such a great service.
Right?
I have a woman who came into my office who is just lonely. Like, she yeah. came in, and she's oh. like, yeah, and she gets, like... She gets home care support, but not enough anymore because there's no funding for it.
Ain't that the
so? She was talking about how lonely it gets, and especially as it gets colder, she's not going to go out as much. Mm-hmm. And so we've become friends, but that's not her at home. That's still in the workday. Like, she's going to be lonely at night.
Yeah,
she could have someone bring her stuff.
Yeah, instead of having to make a trip out to the pharmacy.
Yep.
Which, like, you could do, and that's nice to get out in the community, but yeah. also, like, it's kind of nice for someone to come deliver it.
And actually have time to talk to you, because my friend was a pharmacist, and, yeah, they would chat with the seniors or whoever needed a little extra time, but sometimes they didn't have time for that, and so they're like, okay, Gladys, I gotta go.
Mm-hmm.
And Gladys is like, okay.
Don't bother.
That was when I worked in supportive housing, when I first started, and I was, like, really, really kind before I, like, lost a lot of my heart and soul.
Oh, Jesus.
I know. It got dark. But I would work night shifts at this one building, and there was a woman that was just very lonely, and she was very much a night owl. And so she'd be like, can you shut down the front desk and, like, come have tea with me? And I'm like, actually, I can. This is a quiet building, so let's do this. But unfortunately, she kind of, like, just having tea for, like, your 20-minute break was kind of not enough. And it would be like, now come upstairs again. I was like, well, I was just up there. So it was like a big challenge in setting boundaries. Mm-hmm. And then I decided to do like a one of my favorite things to do is just being alone together with people.
Yeah.
So I was like, hey, gal, like, do you have books that you like to read? Like, bring your book down to the office and we'll just like read books together. And then if something comes up, I'll have to deal with it. Mm-hmm. But just come and sit and read a book with me. And that was, so we just made book club.
That's amazing.
And it was a goddamn delight, actually.
That's terrific.
That's
yeah.
a great solution.
So great. Yeah. I have a question related to, you are very politically informed, I'm guessing, like you're quite up on things.
Yes.
And I'm, I read a really interesting thing about something that Hillary Clinton was proposing to do if she's elected, which was to create like basically a non-military reservist force of like young people that is volunteer based, like, or college credit based, mm-hmm. That would be like part of an auxiliary force for like disaster response or
okay.
like, this is something that I was reading about that sounded really interesting to me. And I wondered like if, and she also wants to beef up the Peace Corps and all these other kind of like non-military groups of mm-hmm. people that like do response to this kind of thing. And I'm thinking like, there could be an arm of that that does like,
outreach,
gerontology mm-hmm. outreach or something like elder care or just being present, like this sort of like, I think what she, the rationale that was being used, I don't have the article in front of me, obviously, was just that we become very insular and we, especially now that we have the luxury of just hanging out in echo chambers, basically, with people who are the same age as us, the same color, the same sexuality, that kind of stuff. So there isn't a lot mm-hmm. of like crossing those boundaries and like getting to know other kinds of people, which I mean, for a lot of people, that's a safety measure, right? Like for queer communities or whatever, mm-hmm. but then other people aren't being exposed and like getting to know like, oh, I don't like gay people, but you like Brian and he's gay. I didn't know he was gay. I do like Brian. Oh my God. Maybe I don't hate gay people. You know, like that kind of experience is really important, but nobody wants to be a project to somebody else. Right. But
yeah,
but I like the idea of like getting college credit or like just being part of some kind of force for good that, you know, like people live much longer and they're very lonely because when they're lonely, they're desperate and nobody wants to hang out with desperate people. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's kind of the bummer. But if you have like regular companionship, it becomes much more, you become more alive, I think. And
yeah.
I think that would be a really awesome thing if that could be part of that. So I don't know what the plan is for that. This is news to you?
It is news to me.
This
is amazing.
This
and
is
I
the last
want it to happen
days.
Here too.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
sounds so great.
Well, I was thinking like, how do you do that without it being condescending? Like
yeah.
you're saying, like no one wants to be a project. So it's like, oh, this high school kid is going to come and read to me. like, would people welcome that, or would it be like, oh, don't pity me? I guess it depends on the person.
I guess it's also,
I would fucking hate it myself.
Like, yeah, but you don't know where you'll be in, like, 70 years or less, I guess, maybe.
But, like, yeah, I'm gonna be 101.
Fuck yeah.
Maybe.
Potentially, yeah.
But I think it's also a different culture of it, at least, I don't know, based on the books I read as a kid, like the Babysitter's Club, people seemed really into that stuff.
Yeah.
But who knows? And Buffy. Yeah. We can just tie that right in.
Yeah, I used to really think of it, because I do enjoy elderly people, especially when I'm not related to them, because, like...
Tell me a fucking story, like, if you could have, like, a different person
coming
in, like, more frequently, and then they would get to tell their, like, most favorite, bestest stories to, like, a fresh audience.
Mm-hmm. Well, exactly, and I really,
it's just, like, coming out of my mouth, it seems mean.
No, it's fun. I people like to talk, and it just feels good to have people around and to not be alone, and, I mean, I really... Like, I used to not hate visiting my grandmother when she was in a home. Like, it was kind of sad because she was, like, sliding into dementia, but she always recognized me. So, it was, like, she was just happy to see me. She was just so happy to see me, right? Like, she was just so happy to have someone there to talk to or whatever, like, for whatever length of time, but it never felt like enough, right? Like, it felt like when I was leaving, she was like, you know? So, if it was something, like, there was just people around, right? Like, not even, like, oh, go sit with Gertrude or whatever. It's just, like, no, you're working at the home. You're, like, helping them with meal service or whatever. You're, like, reorganizing the library or, like, feeding the birds or something like that. Like, just being there and getting to know people and then being like, oh, I actually really like Gladys. Gladys, what's up? What happened this week? Like, while I was away, what's going on? I think it's something that happens, has to happen organically. You can't just, like, all right, you're big brother and old brother.
little grandpa.
See, it works great with, like, adults and children for, like, big brother, little sister, that kind of thing. I did not say that correctly, but you know what I'm talking about. Big brothers and big sisters. Yeah. Little sister. Fucked it up. Oh, well.
Big brothers in that porn store, yeah.
Awesome porn bookstore. Yeah, so yeah, it's just stuff I think about. Like, I love old people, and I will be one someday.
Yeah.
So, I don't want to be forgotten in an attic like Miss Havisham or something.
It's one of the things that I've definitely learned from, again, like, supportive housing stuff, where it's, like, the shit just doesn't happen overnight. And, like, when I was in the UK doing my practicum, it was, like, they have these, like, be a buddy, like, be a companion, be, like, a kinship carer. And it's, like, that felt fakey because your job is just to go and be friends with them. But I like where it's, like, oh, I have other things that I'm doing within this building or whatever, but I'm also... free to hang out. Like, my duties aren't so strenuous that I can't stop and chat. So it's like you have sort of purpose-built stuff. Or like in the Netherlands, where it's like all these poor students are also living in nursing homes now, and then they're just buds.
I thought that was such a great
idea. Sounds amazing. I would love that.
It's just such a great solution for, like, housing problems too.
Yeah.
Can you imagine, like, you live in your roommate's like 85?
That's, I know lots of
people. Damn it, George, you left your teeth in the toilet again. Let's call it a toilet.
Because it's hilarious.
I'm from here. It's not our slang. Good God.
I know people with older roommates, especially, like, in New York and Amsterdam and things like that.
You have an old roommate?
Yeah, I live with a 60-year-old man. 60-year-old
oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
He's pretty wiry, though. You wouldn't think he was 60.
No.
Doesn't come off like a senior.
Well, that
maybe
is
a senior.
That's not really even senior anymore.
No, 60 is super young.
Yeah.
65 is considered senior. My parents are like, my dad gets the bomb-ass seniors discounts. He's into it. He's, like, got his CARP card. His Canadian Association of Retired Persons.
Ooh. Yeah, instead of AARP,
it's like, CARP. What's up, y'all? Give me the deals.
Rolling in for the early bird dinners.
You know it. You know that's what John Norgren does. Oh, boy.
Anyway, so, whatever.
Consensus, old people are great and we should take better care of them.
Well, I've just been thinking a lot about, like, okay, so you're mobilizing volunteers to go do this, like, let's go to the States and talk to people.
Yeah.
I have two thoughts.
Okay.
First off, I want to mobilize volunteers to do so many things, but nobody ever seems to want to do anything.
Mobilize just sounds so cool.
Right? But it's like, my big idea is I work with a lot of people that can't find anywhere to live.
Yeah, right? That's right.
But a lot of their barriers are like, I fucking can't read. So how am I going to look at ads?
Yep.
So, like, I could totally sit down with you and read Craigslist with you for a while. You know, but it's like, in my job, I don't have time to do that. But, like, could you get, like, a mobile volunteer army of soldiers?
Yes.
Sorry, Hamilton.
Are you Hamilton again? Are you nerd?
To get them to, like, would you be, like, a rent fucking buddy? you know, just, like, read rental ads and, like, walk around to different places with your pal and, like, talk to landlords and, like, you are, so, seeking, volunteer, you are relatively literate in the Tenancy Act, so you can sort of tell if they're being asked inappropriate information mm-hmm. or whatever, and you can help them stand up for their rights in a way.
Yes. This, like, sounds amazing.
I feel like that would be a cool thing to do, and especially when people are like, how do I get involved in, like, local politics? It's like, well, you could actually, like, literally just sign up to, like, be this person's, like, pal and
that's
help them.
That's something I would be good at.
You know what would be interesting, you know, about this, too, is I think it would drastically change the, like, the rental, like, policies, too, because mm-hmm. you have more people actively engaging in it and advocating for people who don't understand it that well. Mm-hmm. I think it would maybe, hopefully, change things. I think this would be, let's talk about this offline. I think this is something really, really awesome.
Yeah, because, like, we do a lot of education around, like, here's what the Tenancy Act is and here's mm-hmm. what you should have done to prevent this. Like,
yeah,
we can help with a lot of that stuff, but it's hard to do in, like, a clinic-style format. Like, I feel like so many people need pretty intensive one-on-one support, honestly.
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm.
Just to get over some, maybe some social anxiety of, like, making a bunch of fucking phone calls. Like, you know, someone that's not, or, like, sending emails for a person to set up a whole bunch of appointments to meet potential landlords and you just go with them and hang out. Like, that seems pretty, like, low pressure for, like, a volunteer gig, and it would really help somebody.
Absolutely.
So that's, like, my one, like, idea for volunteer stuff.
That's huge. Advocates.
Yeah, basically.
That's great.
Because, like, all the funding for, like, people that get paid to do that has been cut.
Yeah.
So, like, if people are looking for, like, a good, positive way to, like, spend some of their energy, mm-hmm. that would be a good place to start.
Yeah.
I guess. But then I also wonder, so it's, like, to then, I'm going to take time to go down to the States and knock on doors, like, it's kind of a select group of folks that can afford to take time off work, mm-hmm. can afford to pay for the travel expense. As you said, you don't have money to pay people to do
that's
that.
Right.
So how do you get over some of those challenges? Or you just have to take who you get, I guess.
There, I mean, yeah, and there is a phoning tool that people can use from here.
Okay.
So you don't have to go to the States. It's just that door knocking is more effective.
Mm-hmm.
So, just getting into the nitty-gritty details of how effective it is.
I'm very curious always, because, like, I'm kind of new to, like, political organizing, and, like, I, whenever anyone phones me, so, like, I had people from Lead Now phone me,
mm-hmm.
and I'm like, you're a very progressive organization, I get all your emails, like, I read them, and he's like, do you want to talk about the Trans-Pacific Partnership? I'm like, not on the phone, are you crazy? Like, I was like, no, I don't want to. And he was like, but don't you care about this? I'm like, I care about it a lot, but, like, we can... Like, I will do whatever organizing, I'll shoot some emails back, mm-hmm. I'll do, but I, like, I don't want to talk on the phone about it.
I don't want to talk on the phone to anybody.
But I guess that's the multi-pronged approach for someone that's not going to be reading their email all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess, like, if people show up on my doorstep, I'm like, go away.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. That's why I wouldn't do it myself, but, like, I don't know.
Yeah, totally. If you don't see yourself talking to someone on the door, then you probably aren't someone who's going to go on the other side of the door.
Yeah.
But I think also... The people we're talking to are a different demographic. I mean, door knocking is one thing, because it's whoever answers the door, which I have so many thoughts about that in young voters, but that's something mm-hmm. else. But with the phones, especially with the way the voters list works and everything, it's going to be older people who will pick up the phone.
Yeah.
You will get to talk to you most of the time, unless they've signed up in other ways to get their phone number on a list.
Yeah,
but,
fair enough.
But yeah, especially like here in Canada, phoning is really not super effective because so many people are on cell phones now, but slowly that is changing and it's coming back around.
You were mean to someone on the phone.
I wasn't mean. I was very, for me, I was mean. So, like, it might be like you're polite to someone who's called you and you don't want to talk to them. It was, see, the thing was, it was SFU that called me and I was like, fuck, they want my money. I'm like, give me a real job and then I'll give you some. I didn't say that, but I was like, hello. I was just like, do you have a moment to take a survey?
You thought it was SFU and you answered the phone anyway?
I didn't know. I didn't see it was SFU. It was just a number. I was like, someone's dead. So I picked up the phone because I assume someone's dead.
Yep, same.
And yep, it's the reasonable thing to expect every time the phone rings because that's usually what it means. So I picked it up and they're like, do you have time to take a survey for SFU? I was like, no, I'm watching a movie. And I didn't say that. I was like, actually, I'm watching a movie right now, so it's really not a good time for me. It's like, what would be a good time? I'm like, what's this for? She was like, we're just calling people who came through, like, the gender and women's studies program at SFU. I'm like, oh, I will totally talk to you. Please call me on Monday. I'm so sorry. Good night.
That's very polite. Yeah. No,
I was, for me, it was not polite. I am so fucking ingratiating.
But, okay, so as someone who has done fundraising over the phone for many years, and I've done phone calling for campaigns and everything, I'm actually the worst person to call. Because I'm an asshole.
Are you?
I'll pick it up and I'll just be like, my tone is mean, everything. I'm just like, no, I don't want to talk to you. I know, or like, I know about the issue, or like, I'm going to vote for you, or no, I'm not going to donate. Like, and I'm like, if I want to donate, I'd already done it.
Okay,
and
I've like, made my choice already.
Yeah.
Well, I kind of feel like that about every donation thing. It's like, I kind of know the ones that I go for.
Yeah.
You know what though? Every single goddamn time Amnesty International calls me, I let them up my donation.
Oh, really?
And then, you know what? One time I was like, I actually am between jobs right now, so could you call me, like, in a year, call me and I'll up it another $3 or $4 a month. Aww. And they're like, great, cool, thank you.
That's amazing.
I'm a pushover for Amnesty for some reason.
Fair enough. I mean, like, they do the really good
that
work.
You like,
yeah.
And that's what you give your money to, pretty much. Yeah. So yeah. That. And Maximum Fun. Those are my monthly donations.
I just had...
Podcast Network.
I just got a lot of emails because maybe I didn't pay my credit card bill right away, and I got a bunch of emails being like, your regular monthly donations have all been canceled, so I have to, like, reset them back up again. Oopsie. Which is a pain in the bum.
You can start back at the bottom, though, and then every time they call you, you feel good because you're bumping it up every time.
I guess.
Pro
it's
tip.
It's just more annoying.
But it makes the caller feel good, too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I did that with one guy. I let him talk to me for a little while, and I'm like, you know what? Sure, Clark, let's bring it up to 17 a month from 14. He's like, thank you so much. It's been a hard day.
I guess I actually don't have a lot of empathy for people that make the phone calls, and I kind of forget that they're humans on the other end.
Same.
Just because, like, it's so annoying.
When they speak from a script, it's so obnoxious.
Totally.
But it's also we get so many goddamn NDP calls.
Yes, exactly. Which
We're
is
members,
why I feel bad.
We need money.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Like, the money was so you would stop calling.
Whenever I get the chance, whenever I have access to the database again, I go in and delete my phone number every time.
That's clever.
Yeah.
You crafty little weasel. I love it.
It's a hard one. And like, oh man.
I just hate the telephone so much.
Yeah. Same.
It's the worst part of my job. It's
and
the worst part of everything
really,
I have to do.
Really, let's be real. All these organizations should just set up a texting service and test that out and say, like, find out if you have a cell phone, text you to be like, do you want to increase your PAC by this much? And you just click Y or, you know, three for $3 or whatever.
Yeah.
I think that would be super effective.
Because if they can do it for other stuff, like, that was, like, on fucking...
It is
the first time I ever heard
so
that was
possible.
On a podcast, you know, it's, like, just donate to Red Cross or whatever, Texas number. I'm like, oh, yes, I will definitely do that.
Anyone who has... Well, that one, so the Red Cross ones, yeah, it's, like, it's onto your phone bill and they send the money to Red Cross. But a ton of organizations, if you have a good database... This is getting so nerdy, but
no,
if you
I
have
kinda,
a really
I
good database, then you have... those tools. So yeah, I think again it does add to your phone bill, but if it's an organization that already has your credit card, then they're just connecting it to what you already have and just pops it up.
That's so freaking cool, man. There's got to be a better way. Turns out there is.
More people should use it.
More people should listen to me.
Please, if you text me and ask for money, I am so much more likely to give you money than if you call me. If you call me, I'm just like, who died? No one. I hope it's you next time.
I saw, this is kind of mean, but I saw, like, a weird, like, a loop, basically, like a positive feedback loop happen between, like, a local notorious community activist on Commercial Drive and a binder person that was unprepared for the interaction.
Oh, boy.
And it was very interesting, because the binder person was like, do you have a moment to talk about? And it was, like, a very young man, and this person was just like, I do have a minute to talk. And then I just, like, the fear in his eyes. And then they just, like this.
I never thought this would happen.
But, like, it's like, oh, okay, great, we'll talk to you about, let me tell you about, you know, this pipeline or whatever. And it's just, like, got into this big loop-de-loop.
Oh,
and I saw, like, another binder person come over and, like, try to rescue the guy. And it, like, didn't work.
I've definitely had a, like, let's share whatever situation where someone from public outreach, whatever, I signed up for their thing, but I was like, but here's my thing, and they signed up for my thing, and it was great.
Quid pro quo.
That's good. Mm-hmm. I like that tabling at events and stuff like that, but I just
This is on the street. This is just on the street. Yes. They pulled me in. I always feel bad saying no to them because I did their job once, and I'm like, I know, but also you need to make money, so don't talk to me because I'm not going to donate on the spot.
Yeah. I did that really once for the BC SPCA.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was a handsome Scottish guy. Oh, I'm so ashamed.
You're such a pushover I for know. Certain
and
specific
and he was
things.
So handsome and was just like,
"Och, ay, lassie."
Not quite. Just the wee kittens and doggos. Just the dogs.
You donate $20, oh, I will pull my kilt up for you. She's not going to listen to this. She'd be so mad at me. It's a bad accent.
But, so I did, and now I, like, can't get off their email list and all that.
Yeah, that's
like,
the problem.
Whoopsie-doozy. I love, that's my very, one of my favorite gags ever on Brooklyn Nine-Nine was like, Jake, how are you going to stay out of obvious, how are you going to stay on the down low? It's like, don't worry. Pulls on, like, a green hoodie and takes out a binder. It's like, do you have a minute to talk about the environment? It's like, no one's making eye contact.
The best undercover disguise.
It's so perfect.
You can stake out a place like for hours.
Absolutely. And no one will even talk to you. Do we have time to take a break?
Let's totally
cool.
take a break.
Right on.
And we're back. We were talking about some off-mic conversations about personal stuff, but it made us think about a general concept of just, like, relationships and lust, and then I was saying I saw this phrase from Nicole Cliff on The Toast, and I don't know if this is actually, like, a religious phrase, because she's evangelical now, or, like, newly...
I think she's, like, a chill Christian.
Yeah. And so, domestic felicity, because she was talking about Patton Oswalt and his wife, and it's, like, you don't know...
Sad.
So fucking sad. Like, you don't know... Like, we strive our whole lives to find a partner, and then we kind of take it for granted, and we're kind of like, oh, being in a domestic relationship is so boring, and, like, we don't have sex as often, it's just, like, we just, like, hang out all the time, it's, like... A lot of us are looking for that, and we don't really know, and then when it's gone, you really are sad about that. So.
I think it's very okay. Like, I do strive, I do want that comfort and that partnership, and I think we really put the idea of, like, you have to always be so excited and full of lust, and it has to be easy all the time, and honestly, my ex really made that a thing. She was like, well, it's not easy anymore, and I was like, no, it's not always going to be easy, but we talk about it, and we get through things. And then we can keep being awesome together. And I think people forget that. I don't know why. Like, why we always have to be so excited. Like, I'm happy to be excited right now because it's so new. But
The new relationship energy is, like, a really awesome feeling. But it's, like, some people think that that is what love is. And that's where you get serial monogamy from, I think.
Totally.
People are like, oh, I don't feel that anymore, so I'm not in love anymore. So bye to you and hello to this great, awesome new thing. Oh, wait, this doesn't feel good anymore. Ah, I guess I'll just throw you out like old socks.
Yeah. So my favorite thing right now, post-big breakup, I did a lot of reading and learning about attachment theory. Have you folks heard about it?
Boy, howdy.
Time. Oh, yeah,
great. Everyone should know about it.
And, like, I was a doula for a long time, so that breastfeeding and attachment is, like, a big thing, which is, like, a complicated subject, which I think we'll talk to our friend Noelle about breastfeeding and attachment and the pressure on, like, women to shoulder a lot of the burden, but in relationships, how this can play out... If you maybe haven't had this attachment when you were younger.
Insecure attachment.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I'm an anxious attachment style.
Sure.
I want lots of, like, positive reinforcement, so on and so forth. And my ex was an avoidant. So it went together, you know, terribly, but at the time felt right because, like, it was so exciting all the time. And this new person is secure.
Wow.
And so occasionally I'm like, well, this is exciting because I'm so used to the idea of love being this, like,
chaos.
Yeah, and that's not. It's not love and it's not healthy.
No.
So if new person listens to this, secure is good.
Yeah, totally. That's something I definitely have been thinking a lot about my relationship recently just because, like, I have occasion to. And we have been together for a really long time. And we definitely had a really rough year. Like, it was a tough year for us. Like, not just personally and then together. Like, because if you both are having a rough year, your relationship will suffer too.
Exactly.
So, but we've been spending a lot of time working on it and talking about it. And it's been really revelatory. I only ever see it written. Never try to say it before. But you know what? You just got to give it a go.
That was a bold attempt, though. It was good.
And I realized something that was that I feel very securely attached with her, even though I have insecure attachments at times with other people. Like, when other people will get mad and then shut down and then not talk to me, that is something that I experienced occasionally from my parents and a lot from friends growing up, like a ton. And so I just think that that's going to happen all the time. And then with my wife, it's not like that at all, because it's like she might verbally shut down for a moment because she's autistic. So if I stress her out, that happens. Mm-hmm. But she stays present, and I would be like, can you look at me, please? And she will. And so that's a really nice thing for me, because it's like, it's not like I can say anything and you'll still be here. It's just kind of like we can work through stuff together.
Exactly.
And it's not glamorous at all. It's not sexy, but it's a wonderful, comforting feeling to realize that that's something that you can do.
Yeah.
I'm so into that, like, comfort and that, like, that safety.
Totally. Yeah. Totally. Yes. Just to realize, like, I can be so mad at you and then just know that it's going to be okay. And that's the nice thing about having a very long-term relationship, is that you start to identify patterns, which you like as a pattern.
I sure do.
And so that I know that my experience is very cyclical. I know that I am very much bound to, unfortunately, my menstrual cycle. And so I am just, like, I don't like saying my menstrual cycle. I get very PMS-y. Like, I have bad hormonal fluxes and I turn into a total irritable cow. And then I realize, like, just chill. It's just a week. Like, you'll be fine soon. And then she'll do something.
We don't need to make any bold decisions this week.
Then I'll be so like sour for like a week. Like, oh, stop chewing with your mouth open and stuff like that. And then she'll do something that's so cute. I'll just be like, I love you. You're the cutest person. So that's the nice thing about just like, just doing the work, putting the work in.
Exactly.
And this is the comfort, like, it's just been 9 years with my partner, and, like, we're still, like, pretty, like, hot for each other, which is really exciting and nice, but, like, not at the frequency. I said we wouldn't talk about our relationship on this podcast. I broke the rule. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Whatever.
I'll delete it.
It's fine. If his sister is listening to this, like, whatever. He's cute.
Whatever. He has those beautiful eyes.
But just, like, we've got this, like, long-term, and he said something to me that really struck me, where it was like, oh, for a long time, especially when I was working night shifts, he's like, you were really sad, but it's like, when I met you, you were so vibrant and full of life, and I just knew that that person was still there, so I'm just, like, glad that she's back now, and I'm like, you actually just didn't really like that person that I was for, like, 4 years. He's like, yeah, but I knew that, like, it would be fine eventually. I'm like, holy fuck.
That's commitment.
That makes my heart so happy.
He's such a Taurus, do you know what I mean? Like,
oh, yeah. God. You got it.
But it's true.
Vocal fry. Astrology.
Oh, gosh.
But, like, whatever. He's a long-term planning kind of person. And so it's just like, well, I wouldn't necessarily have the fortitude to see through that, you know, to just be like, oh, well, this sucks for a long time. And it's like, nope, I have faith that it will come back again. And so, like, I'm learning from that person to, like...
Yeah, that's interesting also, just how, just comparing, like, how people in their career life, how that kind of affects how they react to things in, like, their personal life.
I change careers quite a lot.
Yeah.
You know?
I gotta get on that train.
Yeah.
I stick with things for so long. I'm like a 5-year job person.
Yeah.
I'm 31. Like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, okay.
Well, winners for 2 years, for God's sake.
Let's go back to, like, talking about our, like, the reality of jobs now. I mean, that's just what it is, right? Yeah. Like, you can't just necessarily jump from thing to thing. Because there aren't jobs for that.
So you kind of have to say that. Endure a little bit. Yeah. It's like, it's a double-sided kind of thing, because it's like, oh, there's no secure jobs that you could have, like, your union job for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's gone. Unless you're in certain circumstances.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to work in, like, city municipal maintenance, like, you're fucking gold. Like, these were the union guys that I worked with for a long time.
Yeah.
Fucking sewers and streets. Those guys are all over it. Sewer, street, sanitation, like... They're amazing, but
they're cute.
I don't.
They're Ninja Turtles.
I don't want to. Yes, but I don't want to roto-root pipes. I don't.
Yeah.
You want to get down in the shits?
No, and fix like them? God fucking bless those guys, because they have come to roto-root our pipes every 6 months, and they're my.
Sorry about
people.
The tampons,
like,
guys.
I do not use them.
Yeah, I know, because he's a fucking diva.
I'm a diva cup.
High five to that. I heard before, and I'm not gonna force you to put a diva cup.
So fucking funny. I tell you, I had this conversation with my coworker today. She's like, yeah, I was thinking about getting an IUD, but I love my Diva Cup. And my doctor today, she said that IUD manufacturers say it's fine, but I've twice in the last month have I had to take someone's IUD out because it shifted because they used the Diva Cup.
And that's, I was so, like, scary.
I was like, guess no weird thing. I don't know. I don't know why. I just, at this point, it's spite. At this point, it's just digging in my heels for no reason at all.
Yeah. Sometimes it just feels good to stick with something.
Just be like a goddamn stubborn mule about this one thing. I'm like, everybody else has them. I'm like, no, I won't.
I feel like a dork.
I just ruin the world.
I love Magnifica.
I love it. I think
I'll try it and love it.
The main thing is that I fucking hate tampons so much.
So much.
And so if I ever forget my Diva cup, I just am like, I'll use a pad. And then I'm like, this is terrible.
This is all bad.
So like, never forget.
Never forget.
Never forget my Diva cup.
Oh my God.
I have a friend who's a new convert. And she took a lot of Instagram pictures of, like, her blood in the toilet.
No way!
Yeah, she was so excited.
Oh, my God.
I popped the mic there, but no!
Yeah, and I was like, that's a bridge too far.
Did you see that? That was the Facebook event I saw that was, like, our dear friend and past guest, Lauren Martin, who, is like producing this show, I guess. It's like a menstrual art show. I was like, I love you. I will never go to that.
Oh my gosh.
That is the one kind of feminist I'm not. It's like, I'll never paint a picture with my
I was for a while. Oh, sorry.
No. Go ahead.
I talk all the time.
Okay. Well, a friend of mine did a, what's it called? Like, performance art project where she used her tampon and her menstrual blood
as makeup
on her face.
I saw that. I hated it. Sorry, your friend.
It's okay. I mean, it's a tough one to go with, but she is badass. I have to say, I think it's badass. It makes me uncomfortable too.
Yeah. Get down with your bad self. Just don't make me look at it.
Yeah. It is very badass. There was that woman that put the ball of yarn up into her menstruating vagina and then knit a sweater with it.
Oh my gosh. I'm going to look this up. I didn't know about that.
She used the ball of yarn that was in there to, like, so it was like tie-dyed. And she made this awesome sweater.
That's pretty cool, but
like, scratchy.
Well, I'm sure she washed it before wearing it.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
I never think I'm that uptight about this, but I'm just not free-spirity about it. Yeah. Like, I'm truly not. I'm just like, it's private. But not that private. Like, not so private that you can't talk about it, but just, like, don't show it. Don't let me see it.
There was a while when I got real evangelical, like, when I first got my Diva Cup, and then I also read the book Cunt, and it was all like, my blood, I water my plants with my own blood, and it's like, yeah, we do that with your Diva Cup. You water it down a little and you put it on your plant. So I did that for a while when I lived.
Is that good for your plants?
Yeah, because it's got lots of nitrogen.
Oh, okay.
And so when I lived by myself, I did that, but I'm like, I wouldn't do that now that I'm in a shared housing situation.
Yeah,
and also, with two men, I don't think that, probably my roommate would be like, oh, it aligns all of our chakras, so you'll probably be into it, but...
But like, it's so funny to see that they just my boundaries.
I got so evangelical about it and then like got uptight about it again. Like it just comes in waves. It comes in cycles, you know.
Fuck you. You so thoroughly. That's fucking great.
You can do that with the Diva Cup in. No, I'm just kidding.
No, you can't.
No, you can't.
You're gonna get like a little pointy thing stuck in the pee hole.
No, you could do that with the Keeper. I remember they said that because you could like put it back
those
in your pubic bone. Those like Instead cups, and I'm like, how?
Wait, I'm confused. You can't have sex with the Diva Cup in?
I do.
With someone with a penis.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
This is a different thing.
PIV right. sex.
Oh, okay.
I
have not done that.
I have plenty of sex with my Diva Cup in, but not penetrative sex.
Okay.
Just sits right there. I'm so sorry.
I'm so sorry, everybody, but I'm not. It's fine.
Yeah, whatever.
But this is my weird thing that I'm uptight about that other feminists would be like, really, Katie? Really?
But like,
this thing?
The reason that I got really evangelical about it was because I didn't have a period for like almost a year.
Right.
And I wasn't pregnant, and it was just like my cycle was all fucked up. I think I have polycystic ovarian syndrome that like flares up every once in a while, so I'll go sometimes months without, which is, like, why I didn't know I was pregnant at the time. Because it just, like, went on for so long. I'm like, this is normal. It's fine.
Yeah.
And so then when I read that book, I was like, I wish I could water my plants with my own menstrual blood, but I don't have it. And so that makes me not a woman. And, like, that fucking tied up with, like, my gender. Very essentialist. That book is very essentialist.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, my cunt makes me a woman. And it's like, I know how fucking awful that is actually now.
Yeah.
Like, I just saw a thing today from a friend who's genderqueer, and is just like, I get my period and it fucks me up. It makes me super dysphoric. I hate it.
Yeah.
I don't like it coming out of my body, but it, like, I still need menstrual products, so please stop calling them feminine hygiene.
I have seen,
I think you might have shared it.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah,
period junk sounds great.
Those awesome, like, underwear that you can get, and they make them in, like, sizes, so, like, anyone with any body type can wear them.
Totally.
And they make them in a bunch of different styles, so it's not just, like, cute panties.
Yeah.
It's, like, boy shorts and, like, whatever, like, boxers even with, like, a pad built in. Like, yeah, anyone has periods. And, like, a lot of people that identify as women don't have periods. So, like, if you tie up your femininity with that, it, like, fucks you up from both sides.
Yeah, I think that's partly why I'm so, like, about it. Because I just, like, I don't conflate it with my womanhood at all.
Yeah.
And I don't really even think of myself as possessing a lot of womanhood so much as, like, being subjected to a lot of feminine socialization.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so it's very complicated.
But for a while, I just got really essentialist. And I think we were talking, okay, so back to teenagerhood. We were thinking we would talk about our teenagerhood. We were thinking a lot of feminists and, like, sort of, I don't know, like, women that are, feminists. What am I doing? I'm trying to be, I was about to say, like, woke women. That's awful.
Like, that's not how I talk.
That's not how I talk. I didn't like it.
Socially aware.
Socially aware. Whatever. But, like, a lot of us have gone through this common phase of being, like, a young woman that is like, oh, I'm not like the other girls. I only hang out with guys.
Yeah.
I reject femininity. And then you go through that to come out the other side. And I think that there might be this essentializing phase at the end of that to be like, now I embrace my femininity.
Yeah.
And I'm paid with menstrual blood at the moon. And I, like, everything about my essential, powerful womanhood. And so I think then the pendulum can then swing into the middle. Now that I'm in my 30s, I feel like I'm now swinging in the middle a little bit more, which is nice. So I'm just like, this is my thing, and it's fine, and it doesn't mean as much as it used to, and all of that. But now I'm getting into, like, fucking in my 30s being like, reproductive health and having babies is, like, its whole other can of worms. We don't need to get into that. We don't need to get into that.
Amazing diversion.
Speaking of blood, do you want to talk about Buffy the Vampire Slayer?
Yes!
Just shoehorn that right in there. Just shove it in there like a steak.
Bloody teenagers. We've only got, like, 20 more minutes.
Yeah. That's a lot of time to talk about Buffy. We can always do a second Buffy situation.
Yeah, well, we're definitely going to be having repeat guests now that we're... This is so funny. It's like, we got to our 30th episode.
Yeah.
Wow. 31st. This is our 31st episode. That we're recording right now?
Yeah, I think so.
I think so. Well, it might change. Who knows? But I don't think we've talked about periods much at all, other than just being like, I have bad PMS. Oh, I had a bad period or something like that. This is, like, the most detailed period discussion we've had. So
yeah, I'm a big fan of talking about periods. And
kind of amazing that it took this long is all I'm saying. It's like, people are like, this is going to be, like, feminist too gross. I'm like, no, it's, yes, it will. We're going to get there.
It's amazing.
It's good.
It's good to be gross sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Amongst your friends.
Mm-hmm. So Buffy. Yeah. Have you both, like, been big fans forever?
Please. That show came out when I was 12.
Perfect.
And then it started, I did a stand-up bit about this because I did a nerd show, which is happening again tonight, and I'm not on it, obviously, but I did it last time.
You should go.
No, that's fine.
Just go and, like, get up there.
You're just like, hey, what's up? You can't stop me. Been here before.
Elbows up. I know what I'm talking about.
But Ed, the guy who again, we will hope will be a future guest, who puts it on, he asked me, like, I really want you to be on. Can you write a Buffy joke? I was like, are you... Really, Ed? Can I write about... You think that just because I was 12 when Buffy started and it ended the year that I graduated high school, thus, you know, running in parallel with my own adolescent experience, which was a literal hell, you think that's why I like Buffy? You're right. I loved it so much. I did. I loved it so much. I wrote Buffy fanfiction. I've read it on the podcast before.
Does it still... on fanfiction.net?
Yeah.
Okay.
It is. And I read like a you probably would have called it like a fluff fic back in the day.
Okay.
Like the nomenclature has changed completely. I saw a recent glossary going around that was like a fan fiction glossary from like
Live Journal Times,
like before Archive of Our Own even came out, I think. So the LJ days, right? Like, or round robins on email chains, that kind of stuff. There was like a squick or a squee or all these kinds of different things that you could have. So I think mine was a fluff piece. I wrote a couple others. It was just, like, so embarrassing.
It was just about Spike being funny and mooning everybody.
Oh, nice.
I wrote that in March of 2000, so I was 15. That was more than half of my life
ago. That's amazing.
Yeah,
oh,
I
love it.
I can just go and pull it up, and it's so embarrassing. So I might read my fanfic at one of those, like, embarrassing teenage writing
shows.
Yes,
do it. That would be amazing.
Would you guys come and cheer for my Buffy
100%. Fanfare? In fact, I actually want to be in one of those shows in the future. I have a great story from when I was 8 that I want to read.
Oh,
so, I can't wait to
nice.
Yeah. Maybe tell us about us off mic or something, because I really want to know about it.
Oh, that's good.
You're a big Buffy nut?
Huge Buffy. I have a pan. Oh, my jacket's downstairs. I have a pan. It's Slayer's Gonna Slay. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Was there, I can get so, deep into, philosophizing, why I was so into any vampire stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Buffy for me was different because I always would empathize with the vampires. I always wanted to, I was not in Buffy though. Any other vampire fiction read, Interview with the Vampire, it's like, oh, being a vampire is so romantic. But in
Lost Boys.
Yeah, but in Buffy it was like, no, I kind of fucking love Buffy and I love Willow and
I love Giles so much.
Yes, yes.
But it's even though they're killing the vampires, normally I love the vampires. What's going on?
But not all, because Angel, Spike,
Hashtag not all vampires.
Hashtag not all vampires. That was the other part of the joke that I was telling. It was oh, I love, but I did really identify with, but I didn't identify with Buffy because she was she had a mission.
Yeah.
She was hot as fuck and she could kick serious ass. I was I wanted to be like that, but I was a lot more like Willow in that I was very awkward, nerdy. And I turned out to be very powerful and gay in the end.
Yeah. It's actually...
not all the way gay.
It's funny.
Willow wasn't all the way gay.
She's pretty gay by the end of it.
Queer though,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, yeah.
She
dated
two of the hottest people.
Gay just has a better, beat to it than queer in the joke.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
So
sorry.
I have to do queer
theory
with
I ruined... It's not ruined the joke.
It wasn't that good to start with, but it was fun, so...
I did that three... characters thing.
Oh, yeah.
I'm hashtag signing here.
Yes.
But there's no hashtag for it. But I wanted to use a Buffy character and I was like, I don't know if I really am any of them. I aspired to be Willow. Mm-hmm. I loved her so much and I think she's kind of where I really figured out my queerness.
Mm-hmm.
Because one, she dated
Hot guy in the band.
Oh, I loved
me
him.
Me too, I loved him.
He was such a cute boy. I still love Seth Green a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, me too.
I love short dudes.
Yes. And then she dated this guy in high school and a little bit of university. And I was like, yeah, that's me. Totally. And then to women. And I was just like, I am Willow.
Mm-hmm.
And yet she's so powerful and fierce and gets so dark and awesome. And I am attracted to her. Don't know if I am her.
She pulls skin off a living man.
Holy.
That fucked me up. I did not think they would go that dark.
Oh,
on the
my
show.
Gosh.
I couldn't believe they were allowed to do it. It was so graphic.
Yeah, no, it's amazing though.
The skin off.
Yeah, no, it's imagine. Good though. I mean, you can see the times changing throughout the series. You know.
Yeah.
She goes from wearing Sears catalog to ripping the flesh off a living man.
Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness!
I loved rewatching it in my fourth year of university. I was doing a major. No, it was my third year because it was my most intense year of classes. My fourth year was a bit of a cakewalk, which was lovely.
You took a wine tasting class.
I did wine.
No way. Okay,
I did wine science, women's studies, and music appreciation. I've been a classical musician for my whole life. But I learned a lot. It was great. And I still have all these awesome seats. But I did wine, women, and song. I thought it would be poetic.
That is amazing.
But my third year, it was all really intensive women's studies classes.
Okay.
And we had all these papers to write, and I was procrastinating, and I watched the whole entire, seven seasons of Buffy and the five of Angel,
wow.
In the sort of order that they went, so then one season to kind of try to overlap them properly and stuff.
Wow,
so
you were staggering them, too.
Yes.
Holy
That's
shit.
Incredible.
Yeah, so my friend Allison had the double box sets of both of those.
I am so impressed right now, I have to say.
And I'm I kind of want to do that again, because it was really comforting and
okay.
Nice.
Well, let's make it happen, because I actually have never seen Angel. Mm. I didn't like Angel.
I liked the first season, then I stopped watching.
But then Cordelia has a badass in it.
I want to, exactly.
Yeah.
And
fired for getting pregnant.
Oh, wow. That's amazing to watch.
Yeah,
things.
Well, Joss Whedon's kind of a fucking asshole.
He's kind of
is he? Oh,
asshole.
Gosh.
He's a bit of an asshole.
Oh, gosh.
And
I know that.
Our heroes always disappoint us.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
It's probably an oversimplification of what happened.
It is very much so, but whatever.
But I'm still like, Cordelia. She became one of my favorites. Honestly.
Yeah, well, okay. So I saw the episode where she became a god, right? Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I wanted to watch it to get to there, but I just never did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we should make this a thing.
Yeah, we
just
could.
Just saying.
Good.
Like a book
people
club,
can watch along.
Buff club.
Nice.
Club. I have not tried to rewatch it in a while. I think I watched one episode and I was like, I don't know if I still... Because I think it might have been the musical episode, which I didn't really like, honestly.
Whoa.
Oh, sorry.
That says a lot about a person.
Oh, no!
No, it's good. But, rewatch
there
was
it. Some electricity pretty... in there. Crackled.
I rewatch frequently, especially when I'm going through, really stressful times. I find so much calm in watching how, Buffy deals with stress, or, my roommate and I have, two multi-sided die, like many, many sided die to help us decide what season and which episode to watch.
That's brilliant.
That's right? Really cute.
Yeah, it took us a while to get to how to figure this out because, especially with Buffy or if you watch Friends, whatever, there's so many seasons, so many episodes. How do you decide randomly what to watch? And that is how.
Oh, I remember the one that I watched most recently that I did love. It was the Halloween episode from season 4, which is not a good season compared to the other season. Mm-hmm.
But the one with Riley? No.
Well, it is the season with Riley, but it's the one that has, A, the Black Ranger from Power Rangers is in that episode as a guest star.
That's him! Wow.
Yeah, and it has, like, the little fear demon that comes up in the haunted house, yeah. and Anya is dressed as a bunny.
Yes, that is the best Halloween episode. That is
good dialogue. Ever.
And then it's, like, the fear demon's, like, 4 inches tall.
Yeah!
It's so scary, and it's like, oh, he's tiny. Squish.
Yeah.
That is
actually a great episode. And yes, that is a great metaphor. Fear is not as big as you think it is.
Mm-hmm.
No,
and beer bat.
And beer bat. Oh, great episode. Great episode.
Terrible great episode.
But they did that a lot. Like, they had so many good bad episodes.
There's a lot of really bad great ones. Yeah. I have to, like, John Ritter was in the second season, I think.
I just watched that episode. So, oh, right, I was going to say. So, I rewatch frequently, mm-hmm. and the new girl I'm seeing, she's seen some Buffy, but not a lot. And so I want to, like,
perfect.
I want to watch the whole thing with her. So the other night, we started to watch season 1, and I was just like, you know what? Let's just skip ahead. Like, season 1 is not that good when you're, like, getting your hopes up for somebody.
Yeah.
It's good to watch on your own, but when you're, like, wanting to get someone to love something, don't start there.
You gotta get Spike and Drew in there right away.
Yeah. I actually might just skip ahead to when Willow and Tara meet. Because I kind of just want to, like,
hook her. And
I want to get her right in there and break her heart. And then
get her right in there with the gay shit, with the gay poem writing on the back and all that stuff. That
erotic.
Was pretty erotic. So
good. Wow.
I hate it when people say that Tara is ugly. Like, it makes me so furious.
No
when
kidding.
When people say that. Yeah. I'm like, she's gorgeous.
And also, who cares? Like, she doesn't have
to be. Also, she's a sleepy-eyed, like, smart lesbian. Like, that's perfect.
I love her. She's not meant for boys.
It's all guys that I've heard, like, yeah, I didn't really, I thought the lesbian stuff would be hot.
She's not for you.
She's not for you.
Exactly.
Dick.
Mm.
I love Tara.
Yeah.
Me too.
It took me a while. I, like, had to come around to Dawn, and I had to come around to Tara.
Oh, Dawn took forever.
I still haven't really come around to Dawn.
I know, but, like, she's got her own place.
Yes, yes, she does.
In the thing, and it's fine. Yes, but, like, definitely the thing that drew me into Buffy, really, was, like, oh, I like the show, and it's fun, and demons, and I guess Angel's really hot, but it was Spike and Drusilla.
Oh, it's all Spike.
And I'm like, oh, their romance together.
They are such a wacky pairing.
Fucking
I love
dark,
it.
Fucking, like, so intense. And again, going back to, like, this domestic Felicity or the drama.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They were the drama, the passionate, whatever. And it's like, that's so attractive.
Yeah. Ain't no, it's so interesting.
So, like, I liked Spike and Buffy together because they had, like, the house shaking down sex. And then,
God,
like, people have
wore out that tape.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was God. Like, this, I got it off Kazaa. I swear to God, I got that one. They just had the clip that you could download. It's like, for horny 17-year-olds, please download this.
Because, like, having sex up against a wall was a thing that people talked about. You got to, like, see it happen.
I've heard tell that people fuck against walls from time to time. I'm too tall to ever do that.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
I'm not going to lie. It's not
great.
It's just a lot of work.
Yeah.
For both of you, really.
Yeah.
Unless you're so tiny.
Unless you're also really flexible, because, like, like, for me, like, I get a cramp, and it's just not fun.
No, it's hard work.
I prefer to just be, like, prone, like, on the ground. Just, like, the ground.
Prone on the ground.
That's awful. That's not true. No. A bed or a couch or chair or something.
You like some comforts
a
more.
A surface
I have
comfort.
Definitely made out / et cetera, in graveyards before because, you know.
Because of Buffy?
Well, because of that and just being a teenager in a small town.
Just
and
being a goth.
Being outside
of your house.
Somewhere
to be.
Being a true goth.
But, like, I don't know. So, like, I loved Buffy and Spike together just because I loved Spike.
Mm-hmm.
And so didn't really care for their dynamic. And then, like, people have deconstructed it. Like, I think fandom ruins everything for me a little bit because I love people that overanalyze things to, like, deconstructing everything. I love you. Go do that, but I don't necessarily want to read it. I just want to have the fluff.
I don't want the discourse.
Just watch. And yeah, it just kind of wrecked it for me where I'm like, oh, I guess it is kind of abusive and weird and the way that
but
they
it's
are together is not good, so I'm just like, give me just classic Spike and Drusilla being crazy vampires together.
I kind of feel like it's an important discourse. I mean, when you watch the entire series, there's so many issues. I was thinking this earlier when I was, like, preparing to be here. So many issues that, like, they kind of, like, highlight, so that relationship is one of them for sure. When Willow gets totally high on magic, like, addiction. And it doesn't really come up explicitly, but it is what she's dealing with and what everyone's trying to help her with. And it's so interesting to watch all that. I think it's an important thing to show because they didn't romanticize it.
Yeah, that's true.
It wasn't like a... Do you disagree? Or
No, not at all. Sorry, I was maybe looking at you weird. I was just thinking about how, like, I thought there were certain things that were done in the story and late in the season or the series that I didn't agree with. Like, there's, like, an attempted rape between Spike and Buffy. And I just didn't feel like...
I can't watch that episode.
I can't watch that episode. And it doesn't feel... according to the character. Like, I don't think that character would have
me
done
either.
That.
No, absolutely.
So it just felt very unnatural, and then I was like, well, now I have to hate him.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I don't think that wasn't an
You know what? I think that's exactly the piece where I'm like, but I do like that character and empathize with that character through a lot of the development and this relationship that's really tangled. And, like, I've had relationships like that where it's complicated and you don't necessarily know, do I want to be with you or not? And I just want to use you for this and maybe just go my own way. But yet there's some feelings and I don't want to treat you like a used tissue. Like, I want to respect you as a person, but you know, it just gets all, like, super convoluted. So I think that they tease that out, but then it's like, then they made, like, a bad thing happen.
Yeah.
But it's like, but then do we then reject all of their character development and how this person
And then they kind
of,
like, go back to him being, like, an okay guy.
Yeah.
Like, it takes a while,
they,
but...
They give him a redemption arc when I was like, they could have just done that without a rape scene.
Absolutely.
Honestly, like, an attempted rape. Like, it's just... And also, she could overpower him. She always was able to in the past. Mm-hmm. So, like, why was it, like, it was just such a weird, unnatural thing that happened in the tone of the show. And it just kind of, like, really soured me for a little while.
I get that.
I feel like they could have done a redemption arc even without that, because he was, like, they had a toxic relationship.
He's always been evil, and
tried to redeem himself. Like, he could have just done that because he felt like it was the right thing to do.
Exactly.
Yeah, I do like that they definitely showed somebody being like, I did a lot of bad things and I'm trying to be better.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's not something that we talk about a lot. Like, we talked about restorative justice on another podcast and, like, or maybe we haven't.
Maybe we didn't really want to.
We didn't release that one because there was some sensitive material
in it.
Oh,
yeah, it's the only one we haven't released.
Yeah, but I would like to talk about that in the future. Like, looking at, like, you don't just, I think we did mention, like, a bit of whatever, calling out, calling in. Mm-hmm. Like, do you just cut someone out of a community or do you... like, support them in rehabilitation, like, learning what they did and trying to do better.
Yeah.
This is a big thing.
That's a huge conversation to have. It's actually it's one that I think we all struggle with because I think we're kind of taught if you're bad, you're bad.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that's necessarily the reality of it. And
so we were kind of exposed to that nuance a little bit in that show.
Mm-hmm.
Where, like, I kind of feel like my sort of social justice warrior tendencies come from that show a little bit. And it's
same.
Like, I had that
especially
as
especially the warrior part.
Yeah. I had that as a teenager, right? And it's like, that's all that was, like, some of my favorite media, and it really influenced me in a profound
way. The obsession that I had was so deep. Like, I wish I liked anything, even a modicum as much as I liked Buffy when I was a teen. Like,
same.
Going back, like, my friend Tiana made me, she copied, because she had a CD burner before anyone else did, so she made me a copy of Californication. And then
the
she...
The album or the show?
Sorry, the album.
Okay.
Because I was just looking you in the eyes, and I'm like, you know I mean the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
I thought so.
You know what I mean. So she made me a CD copy of that, but then she made, like, a cover that was just all, like, Spuffy stuff. So it's just all pictures of Spike and Buffy, like, on a shitty color printer.
I hate the,
like,
portmanteau of people's names together.
It's the worst. But she wrote Spuffy Shipper on there, so I was like, yeah, it's true. So it was just, like, little cutout, like, bad early inkjet printers with, like, glitter pens and stuff, and it was just, like, such a sweet gesture. But we were so into it, like, she could easily come on here and we could do 2 hours on Buffy, like, easily, because it was such a big deal to us.
Absolutely.
What is it? Like, I guess it was just, like, female power.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. And there's so many underlying pieces of it as well. I was reading an article recently that actually talked about even the bands in the show, and the person who wrote it, they didn't pay attention early enough to see it, but anytime there was a male-fronted band, it was very specific to what was happening in the episode. Mm-hmm. So it's Oz's band, or the one where Willow goes with Amy and they, like, use their magic to change things and, like, they turn the male band into a female band. But otherwise, if you watch, almost always it's a female-fronted band. Like, so many small details that
Kay's
were about...
Choice and Biff Naked.
And fucking Rasputina.
Rasputina.
Did,
yeah.
That's how I got into, like, the cello more, like Rasputina and Apocalyptica and all that
like
stuff.
Like the non, like classical side of cello, mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, it's really interesting to see, like, all, like, even just the small things that they put in there that made it feel awesome to be a woman. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know.
It was really, like, yeah, that the gang, even early on when Oz was part of it, like, it was just, like, Oz and Xander were the only male parts of the gang. Like, yeah. Angel was never really part of the mm-mm. gang.
Yeah.
But it was, like, it was Buffy, and it was Willow, as and then it was Cordelia. Mm-hmm. And so it was always, overwhelmingly female. Yeah. You don't ever see that. So it felt like a show that was just all women, even though there were a lot of male characters.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. It's that same thing, right? Like, there's, like, more than 34% of them. They're dominating. But we see the opposite constantly. Like, fucking Rescue Rangers. They just have Gadget. Like, she's the only girl. What yeah. the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
Or April O'Neil's yeah. the only girl with
that's
the, hangs
right.
out with the turtles.
Yeah, like, exactly.
One
so
lady.
So often.
So then Xander gets to be token male in yeah. some ways, and Giles is like Papa.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
So and
Xander
really
I believe
grapples.
Giles is
daddy.
He's still sorry. Again. I don't talk like that. But
sorry,
it's so fun.
He's still so hot though. Anthony Head is still a total babe.
So yes,
yeah.
he
doesn't
is.
Look any different.
No, he doesn't.
One more wrinkle.
Ugh. So good looking.
So he like reverse aged throughout the series and then just stayed the same. So maybe he is a vampire.
Cool.
Explains a lot.
He's a Benjamin Button.
He's a yeah. Benjamin Button. Baseball boy. Sorry, that's a McElroy reference. You wouldn't know what I'm talking about.
One thing that I really liked seeing played out as well was, like, high school girl friendships, where it's, like, a lot of mine that I had were kind of shitty
yeah.
and, mm-hmm. like, complicated and weird. And so, like, the Cordelia-Buffy dynamic where it's, like, popular girl and outcasty girl and, yeah. like, how they bond through, like, trial by fire kind mm-hmm. of
yeah.
was pretty cool to see.
Well, one of my favorite moments from the first three seasons was, like, Cordelia, can you please take me home? And she goes, of course.
Yeah.
Oh, I just got
sticking
chills.
Up for each
no.
other.
Yeah,
and
where it's just, she's just
know,
like, she comes through.
Yes.
Cordy comes through.
Exactly. And Buffy, I mean, what I liked in the one episode that New Girl and I watched was...
I think you're talking about the show New Girl.
Was that Buffy, it was the one where we first meet Amy mm-hmm. In the cheerleading episode. And Buffy is just, she's always there for the other women. Like, she yeah. never throws it under the bus. Like, one of the cheerleaders, her hands are on fire. And her reaction isn't like, well, see you later. Like, her reaction, maybe it's because she's a Slayer, but she's like, she's on fire. Like, we need to go help her.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole thing, her answers are always like, we need to help these women. Like, we need to jump in. And these women are important mm-hmm. to all yeah. of us.
And I think, like, one thing that I really just loved about Buffy was that she could just kick ass.
Yeah.
And, like, she looked like a tiny little blonde girl. And then, like, men would lust after her, and, mm-hmm. like, the personification
she kicked
of...
dicks off.
Well, the personification of, like, male desire, a.k.a. a vampire. Yeah. Like, that's what it is. Like, the yeah. older man, he's, like, 100 years old, and he's coming after you, little girl. Like, we've yeah. talked about that before.
I
like
to suck your boobs.
Yeah, like, she could fucking kick their asses, yeah. and it was really great.
Mm-hmm.
Or stab them in the heart with a sword, sending them into a hell dimension.
Yay!
Yeah.
She could do
and
that, too.
So then she could do that to stick up for her other friends, whereas it's, like, a lot of her friends and, like, myself as a teenager would, like, I wouldn't intervene or stick up for myself because mm-hmm. I'd be scared. But if yeah. you knew that you had those, like, super strength, it'd be pretty great to
yeah.
walk around not being afraid. You just walk around at night in, like, a hell dimension portal town and just be fine.
Yeah.
It's like, it's cool. I got yeah. this.
Absolutely.
And they'd be like, don't go out at night. And she's like, it's totally fine.
She's like, that's sort of what I have to do.
Yeah.
That's kind of when I work, guys.
I sincerely got this. Don't worry.
Don't you worry.
And I appreciate the team effort, too. Mm-hmm. Like, in the episode I'm talking about, they also, it's the one where she says, you guys don't have to do this. Like, it's my destiny. I have to do this. You don't have to. And they're like, no, like, we're your crew. We're your gang. We're here to help
gang.
You. Yeah. And it's awesome, and I like that, too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'll rewatch it.
Yeah.
Yay!
That's a good, like, yeah, communal...
I got so snide about Joss Whedon after watching the Avengers 2, Electric Boogaloo, whatever it was. I'm just like, ugh, this is so bad. And then I thought about everything I didn't like about Buffy, and then I forgot all the stuff I did like about
mm-hmm.
Buffy.
There's so
yeah.
much to like.
It's so 90s.
Yeah.
Which I love.
And early 2000s.
Yeah.
But it was so big. I think it makes me feel awkward because it reminds me of, like, being sort of a desperate teen. Mm. And so I'm like, oh, do I want to feel that way again? Maybe I do.
I love feeling that way again because, yeah. I don't know, I feel like I'm, like, an empowered woman now. And I love looking back on who I was as a teenager and just being so like, nice. Screw that, I'm awesome.
That whole, like, you be the person that you needed when you were a teenager. Exactly. It's like, you would so be that.
That's, yeah.
Ashley, like, you would be the, like, the one that would just be like, hey, get over here. Like,
yeah.
Your hands are on fire. Let's deal with that.
No, but, like, you would bring them into the fold. Like, you're a community organizer. Like, you would embrace all those sweet, sweet teenage selves of yourself. Like,
guys, that's so lovely. I think that's a great place to stop.
Cool. Sounds good.
Thank you for being here, Ashley.
Thanks for having me.
What a treat at the end of a crappy week to get to talk buffs and periods and politics and all that kind of cool stuff.
Yeah, we will 100% have you back for more chats.
Oh, thank you. I would love to be back. Kay. More Buffy forever.
See you guys next week.
Adios.
Bye.